How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeart Radio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. Well, try to tell everybody, they did in fact announce on SmackDown last night that Jinder Mahal and Randy Orton will be facing off at the Battleground pay-per-view in a Punjabi prison match. They're dusting that baby off, and they're going to bring it back. It is a cage made out of bamboo with another cage inside it made out of bamboo, and you basically have to climb out of two cages in order to win. And they've done this before. I can't believe they're doing it again. Let's just put it that way. Maybe it'll be good. Who knows? Jinder Mahal and Randy Orton set to face off at another pay-per-view. WWE resurrecting a stipulation match for their third meeting. It was announced on SmackDown Mahal would defend the championship against Orton in a Punjabi prison match at Battleground. Stipulation debuted at the Great American Bash 2006. That match, by the way, for those of you that don't recall, it was supposed to be the Great Khali versus The Undertaker, but the Great Khali was removed from the show because of his elevated liver enzymes. You remember that? So he was replaced by The Big Show, and so it was Big Show and Undertaker. Big Show trying to climb out of this cage. You can only imagine. And later, Khali did in fact appear in one Punjabi prison match. That was a match with Batista in 2007 at No Mercy, which Batista won. So Khali has never even, he's been in one of two Punjabi prison matches, and he lost that one. But he is the god of the Punjabi prison, according to Jinder Mahal. We'll talk more about this after the break. Got other matches announced for that show, and for next week's SmackDown, and a bunch of other news. Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. Back here on the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. If you want to give us a call here today, you should know the numbers, 844-411-5411. You can send text messages to 425-780-7566. We'll take your phone calls, emails. Britt Baker is going to be joining us in the final segment of the show today to talk women's wrestling. Maybe GLOW, who knows, all sorts of stuff. And yes, as noted in the opening segment, there is going to be a Punjabi prison match coming up at the Battleground show on July 23rd. That in addition to that, we got the New Day against the Usos for the tag titles. And that's all we got so far. There's going to be a Battle Royal next week where the winner will face Kevin Owens. And I'd bet dollars to donuts, which is my new saying, very old saying, that AJ Styles is going to win, and it will be AJ versus Kevin Owens for the title at Battleground. John Cena's coming back. Obviously, he's not going to be facing the Jinder Mahal for the title, as some people had expected. Everyone seemed to think that he was going to come back and beat Jinder Mahal on the July 4th SmackDown, but I don't think that show's doing great numbers. I don't think they're going to do that. I think Jinder's champion for a long time. And I guess we'll find out who John Cena faces at the pay-per-view. I got an idea, but not going to talk about it yet. I don't want to jinx this one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Are you going to debut it, like, or are you that concerned that you'll just tell us about it afterwards?
I may tell you about it before. I may give my prediction later today. But hey, I predicted Punjabi prison. Got that one right.
Apparently somebody in the truck did as well, too. They must have had some ESP and knew that Jinder was going to take the Punjabi prison match because, you know, on the live show, with it being up to Jinder's decision after Orton storms the ring and Shane makes it happen, they had a script and a video package ready to go for the Punjabi prison match.
Well, clearly Jinder talked to them.
Aye.
And he had it ready, yes.
Well, and I wonder how they're going to continue to sell this thing as it gets closer to it. Do you even bring up the fact that there were matches, or do you just talk about how cool the cage looks?
Because of course you're going to bring up that there are matches. They already talked about how there were matches. They talked about Great Khali last night.
Yeah, but I wonder if they bring it up after this now, or do they just put it away because, I mean, let's be honest, the matches weren't any good.
Well,
again,
no.
The structure looks fantastic, but the thing is no good.
They don't have to reshow the match. They only have to show clips or still photos and pretend it was awesome.
It's Batista winning, and then people pop because they remember Batista was awesome.
So next week on SmackDown, the July 4th show, we have the Independence Day Battle Royal. So your typical geek battle royal with a couple stars. And the winner of that will challenge Kevin Owens for the title. We have a wrap-off segment. The Usos and the New Day will have a rap battle, or a battle rap. I'm not cool enough to tell you which is the correct pronunciation of this.
That was, you're half Mexican, and that was the whitest thing I've ever heard.
What are you talking about? Rap battle or battle rap? They change it however they want. It's a rap off. That's how they described it here. I'm telling you what they wrote. A rap off.
Okay.
Don't yell at me about this.
All right.
John Cena returns, and we'll do something. And that's what we got for next week's show. I can't wait for that one.
Get your DVR ready.
Not
that's
quite as good as what they
it.
Had billed for this week. I will say that.
No.
We also have the Raw ratings. Raw fell 4% from last week's 3.10 million viewers. They're under 3 million this week. There's no real explanation, Dave said, as Raw's number in theory shouldn't have increased coming off a SmackDown brand show. Number is better than the show's been doing in months, but it should be up with the drop in competition, with a lot of network reruns and no major sports. Well, I think the obvious answer is the show's too long and the snowball is rolling downhill. I've been talking about this for a while. Third hour held up better than usual with the long women's match, with hour three staying even in the 18 to 34 demo, although it did fall with viewers over the age of 35, and particularly it fell with women. A 35-minute women's match, and they lost women. They were second for the night on cable, trailing Hannity at 3.01 million viewers. And 2.89 first hour, 3.09 second hour, 2.95 third hour. So those are your Raw ratings. And we should see an uptick in SmackDown tonight because they built this thing up like crazy. And they had a two-week-long storyline revolving around the second women's Money in the Bank ladder match, which, for those who didn't see the show, was won by Carmella. So she is the first and second Money in the Bank briefcase holder. And that's SmackDown. Not really a lot else to talk about on the show other than that match in Punjabi Prison. Those were the two big things.
I'd like to see Becky Lynch choke out James Ellsworth.
Well, I don't think you're going to see
that. Do you think they're actually going to get a singles match with these
two?
No,
I don't.
Really?
They don't do man versus woman.
Do you think she'll, at some point, like, she'll lose to Carmella and then get to choke out James Ellsworth? It just seems to be such a natural thing.
Well, I mean, she dropped him crotch first on the top rope last night.
Yes.
Which, if you watch it again, I mean, he's never going to get in the ring with her again.
But
I think that was the end of that one. That was brutality, is what that was. Let's go to the text messages here. 425-780-7566. Give us a call, 844-411-5411. Got some more news to get into here in a while, but first, this person here says, it's called a battle rap. I'm a huge fan of it, and you'd be surprised how close both are to each other. The battle rappers are also known to have some fire. To have some fire bars about wrestling?
Hot bars, like in this blaze battle between these two.
Fire bars. That's what he wrote here. Don't yell at me. This was split into two text messages, too, so it was difficult for me to try to piece together.
Mm-hmm.
This person says, why is WWE breaking up so many tag teams right now? DIY, Enzo and Cass, the Hype Bros, despite the weakness of the tag team division. Well, Vince doesn't really like tag teams. Even though his favorite wrestler ever was part of a tag team. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to spit some knowledge right here. What's so funny?
Nothing. I just said.
You know what? I'm going to wait till after the break because I don't got enough time. But
you really got to lay some heavy stuff on us.
I'm going to lay some heavy fire here.
All right.
Because I've really been thinking about this after they broke up Enzo and Cass, and a comment that Dave made on Wrestling Observer Radio. And it really got me thinking. And so I'm going to talk about that when we come back from the break. But first off, to the phones, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, it's Ian from San Antonio.
Yes, Ian.
Well, you know, I don't know. I was thinking about, every time I watched this James Ellsworth, I guess he's the closest thing that WWE really has to a manager in the classical sense, being that Paul Heyman doesn't really fill that same role anymore. And, I mean, the thing is with managers, I mean, it's supposed to be, it was always supposed to be anyway, that in some ways they even have more heat than the wrestler, and then at an eventual point, somebody, you know, kicks a dog you-know-what out of them. And that's what, you know, that's a bit, I mean, Jim, how many times did Jim Cornette get beat up? You know, him and Bobby Heenan.
Wait, where are you going with this? Because that's exactly what happened with Ellsworth last night.
Well, no, but look, like, you know, he is managing a woman, right? So obviously she's not going to wrestle any men. But I was going to actually refute what you were going to say about, you know, if, I don't know, let's just say she has a feud with Becky and that, you know, James Ellsworth keeps interfering. I think that they would do this man versus woman match because... No, wait, listen to me. Wait. Because, look, was Jim Cornette, like, for instance, when, I mean, Jim Cornette got beat up by women all the time, right? And I know that was in 1980.
I know. Why are we bringing up Jim Cornette in the NWA in 1985? WWE in 2017.
I don't care. Listen to me.
Look, well, I care.
James Ellsworth will get beat up because they're not going to let him wrestle a woman and get anything up on it. I think what they're going to do is have him wrestle and make him look a complete and total idiot. And he's going to get beat up really bad, and he's not even going to land a strike on her. And that's why I think that they might let it happen under the right circumstances.
Well, you know, listen, it's more likely.
I'll think about that, but right now I'm telling you no.
Well, here, this is what's probably more likely is she just has a match, loses because of something Ellsworth does, and then she completely destroys him afterwards. That way you never really have a match, and you get what you want anyway, which is her beating up Ellsworth, which makes the crowd happy.
I mean, come on. Listen, James Ellsworth climbed up, grabbed the briefcase, gave it to Carmella. He was the most hated guy on the brand. Like, I mean, you should have seen social media after Money in the Bank and emails and everything that I got. I mean, hardcore fans who, honest to God, I mean, this is a nice way possible. You should have known better. I mean, that was the whole idea behind them screwing up that match to make you mad so they could do a rematch where they give you the match on television and he gets his, which is exactly what happened. It was actually brilliant. But a lot of people got so mad that the first match ended like that. It was all by design. Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. Back on the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. This is the hot fire that I'm going to spit here. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right, so we were reviewing Raw on Monday, and Enzo and Cass have broken up. And they tease getting back together, and then, of course, Cass turned on him, and he threw him down the ramp, and he made him look like an idiot.
Which is good, because nobody bought it.
They didn't buy it because they knew it was going to happen. But they were angry about it. And Dave's point was, well, this was an act that the fans like, and so the company's taking it away from them to get heat. And as soon as he said that, I said... Not even sarcastic. I guess it was sarcastic. I said, you know, that's what this company needs is to take more away from the fans that they actually like.
Mm-hmm.
And then I really got thinking about it. I really got to thinking about this. I'm watching those retro shows. Are you aware of this?
I've heard of that. Yeah.
Okay. I'm watching 98 mm-hmm. and Steve Austin won the title 2 months ago. So I've watched like 8 Raws since Steve Austin won the title. Do you know how many of those shows Vince McMahon put one over on Steve Austin and got heat on him? One. And do you know what happened the week after he did that? Steve Austin just humiliated him again. Steve Austin has humiliated Vince McMahon on every single show over and over and over and over again. There's no getting heat on Steve Austin and humiliating Steve Austin and taking the things away from Steve Austin that the fans love. They keep giving him the same thing every week. And you know what? We're 2 months in now, and he's more over than ever, not less.
Really? I can't believe that. It's amazing.
Really? Kane bloodies this guy up, wins a match to take the title at the King of the Ring 98. The very next night, they give it back to Steve Austin. The fans are more into it than ever. My point of this is, and this is another segue, but it pertains to this. When I first started wrestling with Buddy Wayne, bless his soul, recently passed away.
R.I.P.
We did all of these matches, and like I always had to be the babyface, and he was the heel. And after we did like 4 or 5 matches and I was a little more comfortable, I said to him, what do you think about maybe I'm the heel this time and you're the babyface? And boy, did I just get, I got the brow beating of a lifetime. He said I was such a geek, like every other geek that starts out and all they want to do is be a heel. They want to go out there. They want to yell at the people. They want to get booed. They want to be, and he pointed out to me, it's easy to get booed. Any idiot can go out there and get booed. Like any numbskull can go out there and be unliked. But do you know how hard it is to go out there, especially cold in front of an audience that doesn't know who you are, and get them to like you and cheer you? He says, listen, no, you're not going to be the heel. I know you think it's easy because you're like every other geek, but the reality is you can't be a good heel until you learn how to be a great babyface. So go out there and be a babyface and try to figure this out. And one of these days, when you got it figured out, then you can be a good heel.
Put in that work, son.
So here's my point. WWE, I feel, has got like 28 guys on the writing team. And you know they're all young because they always push that. They're probably all in their 20s. Maybe some of them are in their early 30s. But it's a quick turnover. It's all young guys and they're writing this television. And They have a knowledge of wrestling that's probably pretty basic. It probably is WWE over the last 10 years. And how easy do you think it is for them to come up with an idea to get heat on somebody? Every single one of them. I could take anybody out of this listening audience and put them on a writing crew and say, come up with some idea to get heat. And you could all come up with something. But you know how hard it is to try and come up with an idea to get a babyface over, or to get a babyface loved, or to get a babyface in a position where when you put them against the heel, they're rooting for the babyface? That's hard. So here it is, another example. We've talked about it, I don't even know how long. They always have to get heat. That's all they can think about is heat. We got to get heat. We got to get heat on this guy. This will get heat. Heat, heat, heat. That's all I hear about is heat.
Heat in their hometown.
Heat in their home. We got to beat them. It'll get heat. Well, where is, we got to get this guy over as a babyface. Let me tell you something today, because it's all over Twitter. It's on my Twitter right now. So a picture has come up. It's young Izzy, the former Bayley fan that would be in there in the front row, living and dying with Bayley. Well, now they found a picture. She's wearing an Alexa Bliss shirt. And Bayley is here on Steve Austin's podcast talking about how my character's just lost. I don't understand what's going on with the people. And we talked about this yesterday. I don't know if she really believes that or not. My guess is she knows exactly what's going on, but she has to be political about it. But do you want to know what the reaction I heard first thing in the morning when that picture started floating around?
What was
like,
that?
WWE is, I shouldn't say all of them, but there are people there who are just giddy about this. And they can't wait to see if they can work this into some sort of storyline with which to, I guess, humiliate Bayley. Because all they can think about is, oh man, this is going to be a great way to get heat.
Heat.
For Alexa Bliss. That's all they can think about is, how can we get heat? And I think that's one of the main reasons that, I mean, right here on the front page, Dave wrote these words. There's no real explanation. Why is Raw's number down? Well, you're just running off more and more people slowly. The snowball's rolling downhill because you can't get any baby faces. I mean, it's a broken record. But my point is, when I just really thought about this with Enzo and Cass, here's an act that people like. They love it. Like, I know there are people that hate Enzo. I heard about it for months. Oh my God, I just can't stand Enzo. He's so annoying, blah, 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 blah. But you know what? They came out and every week it was something that the audience loved and they sang along with them and they loved the team and they loved that act. But guess what? Now they found a way to get heat and they've broken him up again. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Wasting my time. It's such a full heat company. I mean, we just talked about it like 2 weeks ago. How many champions do they have right now that are baby faces? Like, I think there's one, unless there's been a title change I'm unaware of, right?
Yeah.
Naomi is the only babyface champion they have in SmackDown, Raw, and NXT. There's one. Is it that important to get heat that every last single one of your champions, with the exception of Naomi, is a heel? It's ridiculous.
Much like Buddy Wayne told you, you got to put in the work to do it. And it is a little bit more difficult to do, especially at a time when you have everybody sitting there 50-50 and not a whole lot of standouts. You actually have to build someone to make them stand out. And they just don't want to put in the work to create baby faces anymore. They're terrible at it because they want to be terrible at it. They don't have to be terrible at it. Look at the amount of brains with the road agents and people like that that they have. There's no reason for it other than they got caught in this trap of what they're doing, and it's not working. It's not growing new fans. You don't have a Cena that's ready to pop out of the pack. You don't have anybody right now that's looking like they can pop out of the pack. You've taken Shinsuke Nakamura, and I'm not saying they've neutered him, but that they've done a good job in kind of pulling him a lot closer to the core of the earth on SmackDown, as opposed to making him the super shiny standout. And that's not to say that they don't have people that they could turn into somebody if they wanted to. But like you said, they're just one track minded when this comes to heat over and over again. And they forgot what made the company in the first place, which is the superhero, Bruno Sammartino, Hulk Hogan, Bob Backlund, the All-American guy. A lot of people bash him, but at the beginning it worked because that's what it was. Even John Cena, who obviously they basically thought they could find nothing in until he became a rapper and spit his hot bars. But still, they let him break out of the pack and become John Cena. And they have Roman Reigns, but look where he's at right now. Seth Rollins, look at what they've done to him. So, yeah, your rant stands.
I mean, listen, people get mad at me for always talking about, oh, you know, I'm watching these old retro Raw Nitros. Here's the thing. If you got a guy like Roman Reigns, and he's not, I mean, he's over, but he's booed. Everybody hates him. I mean, like, if you want to figure out how to get Roman Reigns over, and I'm not saying that it's just going to, you can snap your fingers and copy things and it's going to work, but okay, so you had John Cena, who was the top babyface, and he got booed. So your idea is you're going to take Roman Reigns and just do the exact same thing that you did with John Cena, which, by the way, got him booed as a babyface. Or you could go back throughout history in your own archives and look at some of the most over-popular babyface performers you have. And I know people are going to say, well, it's not the 90s anymore. Roman Reigns can't flip people off and drink beer. That's not what I'm saying. Look at the psychology of what they did to get Steve Austin over. It ain't rocket science. And it's not something that ain't going to work in 2017. There are things that they did with Steve Austin and with Goldberg, which, by the way, in 2003 or whatever, when they brought Goldberg back to WWE and they changed the formula, guess what? The guy didn't get over. When they brought him back in 2016 and did the same formula from 1998, guess what? The guy got over because it's timeless. And the things they did to get Steve Austin over, forget his character and flipping people off and drinking beer. The stuff they did to get that babyface over would work today. But they don't do it because they got to get heat for Stephanie and Triple H. Back in a moment with Britt Baker. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. We're back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Very happy today to be joined by Britt Baker. Lots of
Hello,
stuff.
Hello, guys.
What's happening today?
Today, and you know, not a whole lot. I just finished up a day of dental school, and I just have training in the gym to finish up the day.
God, you killed my first question. I was going to build it up about this intense training you were doing to become a dentist. But you killed
it. Right. I'm on my last year, too. One more year of dental school, and then I'll have my degree, and I'm out of there. I'm never sitting through another lecture again. Well, a dental school lecture.
Sure, exactly. There may be plenty of lectures to come. Now, I guess that begs the question. So you've obviously devoted a lot of time to becoming a dentist, and obviously
eight
you've
years,
devoted
yeah.
8 years, a lot of time to being a professional wrestler as well. If you had to imagine where you would be in 3 years, are you working on people's teeth, or are you wrestling in a major promotion?
Or both.
Well, I was just going to say, I'm going to cheat your question a little bit. In a perfect world, I would be able to have the best of both worlds. Obviously, my dream is to wrestle in a major promotion, but dental school is something that has been my life for the past 8 years and something I've worked very hard for. So that's, regardless of what happens with wrestling, at some point in my life, that's going to take precedence. But, you know, it's, you just got, I guess I just have to wait and see what life throws at me.
You know, it's been a long time since we had a wrestling dentist, and he went on to great things.
If I had a dollar for every time someone told me at an indie wrestling show that I should be Isaac Yankum's daughter, I would have probably more money than I make at merch at some shows.
Well, I didn't necessarily say his daughter, because that would be, I have to think about how this would work. Because everyone knows it's Kane, you'd be Kane's daughter, Paul Bearer would be your grandfather. It'd be very, very weird. But maybe it could be
strange
done.
Lineage, yeah.
But it would probably guarantee a very, very long career.
That's true. That's true. Now, when did you decide that you wanted to try this wrestling thing? It was very, very recently, correct?
Right, yeah. I'm still under 2 years in, and it was actually when I moved to Pittsburgh for dental school when I learned about this crazy thing called indie wrestling, because I had no idea what it was. I watched the wrestling that was on TV. I never knew what independent wrestling was, and it kind of got introduced to me when I moved to Pittsburgh from State College for school, and I was like, you know what? I have to try. I'm going to try out, see how it goes. I never in a million years thought that it was going to take off like this, and I was going to fall so in love with being a wrestler instead of just watching wrestling.
Now, when you say you found out about the ability to train to be a wrestler, what exactly happened? Were you at a show and you talked to somebody, or how did this come about?
No, it was just friends. It was friends from State College, and I always talked about wrestling. I was a fitness instructor, and I was like be like fake super kicking people, and they'd be like, you know, why don't you just do like independent wrestling? And I was like, what? I have no idea what that is. And then I, of course, with this day and age, we have YouTube. I'm YouTubing and indie wrestling like nonstop, and it was literally, I think, 4 months before I was about to move to Pittsburgh that I contacted what was IWC Wrestling in Pittsburgh. I was like, hey, I'm going to be moving to the area. I'm a huge wrestling fan. I'd like to give it a try. Gave them my athletic background. They said, yeah, sure, we'll have you down here. Well, I tried out, and they accepted me into the class, but the class started like 2 weeks later, and I'm still living in State College, so I'm making a three-hour drive every week to drive to training to make it there and make it back to State College. You get to work at 7 in the morning. So it was a little rough at first, but I love it so much. I'm so happy I stuck it out.
Now, when did you meet Adam Cole?
I met Adam Cole at a Ring of Honor Pittsburgh show. We knew of each other, and we talked like small talk here and there in social media, but I like met him officially. Hi, I'm Britt Baker in Ring of Honor Pittsburgh, which was, oh man, what was that, last September? I can't even remember when that was now.
And so now he's your boyfriend. Not vice versa. You're not his girlfriend. He's your boyfriend. That's right.
How is he as a tag team partner?
What's that?
How is he as a tag team partner? Because I know you guys teamed up and knocked off Jessica Havoc and Sammy Callahan for Wrestle Circus. Yeah, what's he like to team with?
He is just an absolute wrestling genius, as all of us know. He's so fun and, you know, technical wizard in the ring. He'll always say, oh, I'm not that athletic, but he is. He's super athletic. He doesn't give himself enough credit. But it's just the ideas and the logic and the wrestling psychology he comes up with, it's just every single time blows me away. And I'm so grateful that like my best friend and my boyfriend is also someone that I can learn from in wrestling.
So do you guys trade off where he helps you with the wrestling and you like help him with his fitness?
No, but I will tell you that I just had him come to dental school for a cleaning, and we have him on a very strict flossing regimen.
Oh,
now,
man.
Adam Cole is not a very good flosser to date, but we got him straightened out. He's on the road to recovery and periodontal health.
Oh,
so
man.
I want everyone to know that Adam Cole's teeth are going to stay nice and clean.
Okay, we can talk about this for a while.
I pick his brain nonstop.
How long did he go between cleanings?
He told me the last cleaning he had was 3 years ago, and I almost hit the floor.
Okay, so it was probably six, right?
Fair.
It was probably six.
Right, that's what I said. He probably wasn't even telling the truth.
Exactly. I know how this works. So did he have to undergo the deep cleaning?
He was borderline. So we did like deep cleaning in some areas, but in the other areas he was just like general cleaning. So he has beautiful teeth. He has a gorgeous smile, but
he does have a very gorgeous smile.
Flossing. Other than that, he's, you know, great. Brushes every day. And I even tell him that he's flossing. He flosses. He's like, yes, yes. So, and in return, I pick his brain endlessly for wrestling advice and wrestling matches and wrestling help. So it's a good trade-off in my opipinion.
Yeah, we're not breaking any HIPAA laws here.
Well, as a matter of full disclosure, Brian goes to the dentist like every 3 weeks.
Well, you see, I lived my life like Adam Cole for a while. And so after I received...
And now you pay.
After that deep cleaning, I was like, I'll be in here in 2 weeks if you need me to come back. I don't ever want to do that again. So I'm a stickler now.
Oh, yes. But the deep cleaning's good, though. You need a couple bad ones, and then you're back on the road to recovery.
Hey, so. My teeth are beautiful now, but they sure weren't. Before that cleaning, it was rough. Now, I hear that you also have wrestled Hornswoggle, the former Hornswoggle, now Swoggle. Is that correct?
He has been a thorn in my side for about 6 months now at a promotion called AIW in Cleveland. Yes, I've had tons of, I guess, quote-unquote fun with Swoggle, but AIW, it's definitely a one-of-a-kind promotion to begin with, and if there's anyone that's going to book Britt Baker versus Hornswoggle in the match, that's definitely the one to do it. We actually have up-and-coming Fans Bring the Weapons Lumberjack match at AIW Absolution, and that's going to be
with Hornswoggle
versus Swoggle again.
Oh,
yep.
My God. Listen, I got to ask this question because I had a buddy who had wrestled for a long time, and he did an enhancement match for WWE or something. He was in the ring with Hornswoggle. It may have been a match. It may have been something. I can't even remember. But point is, the next day he said, I've never been hit so hard in my life. This is the stiffest guy I've ever been in the ring with. By far. Have you had that issue with Hornswoggle, or is he as nice as can be?
No, because he knows I'll beat his ass.
I see.
No, I'm just kidding. Swoggle can be a little like...
snug.
You know, he's just an annoying little pest. Exactly what you think he is, that's what he is. It's not like a work. That is Swoggle to a T. So he is a kind of a little shithead to deal with. But, you know, he's fun. It's all good fun.
Well, let's talk about some of the other promotions you've been working for. You've got, obviously, Shimmer. And actually, you've worked at a number of different places. Monster Factory, Girl Fight, International Wrestling Cartel. What are some of the upcoming dates that you've got?
So my next date is actually the big Rise Shimmer weekend we have. It's the weekend of, what is it, July 7th, 8th, 9th, I think, something like that. So that's the next show, and that's my first full Shimmer weekend. So I'm really excited. I definitely use the Rise program to kind of advance my way up to Shimmer. I had a Shimmer match at the most recent Shimmer tapings, which was just one show in Orlando. Won my Shimmer debut, and now I have a full weekend of Shimmer and Rise fun, so I'm really, really looking forward to that. Both singles and tag matches. I tag with Chelsea Green as well.
Now, you have done some shots for NXT, is that right?
Yes. Did some extra work with NXT and WWE.
I believe you refer to as local talent.
Local talent, that's right. Give it up.
That's right. Did you get, I mean, how does it work in terms of nowadays when you go to work an enhancement match? I mean, do they talk to you backstage and give you helpful tips and pointers, or is it mostly when the match is over, they're helping the contracted talent figure out what they could do better?
No, I could not have been treated any better when I was there. It was obviously a Nia Jax squash match. There, you know, not a lot to it, but at the same time, there was a lot to it because it was her very first Raw debut. They wanted to make it look like a monster, so I knew going into that I was probably going to get thrown around pretty much. But I actually got color in the match, and as soon as I got backstage, everyone was so nice to me. Like, are you okay? You did a great job. Thank you so much. It's not like, oh, like go back to catering. Everyone was super nice. They couldn't have been, you know, more thankful. And
what happened in that match? How'd you get cut?
It was just a freak accident where I was in the tree well, and there was a backsplash, and Nia Jax came flying at me, and the next thing I know, my nose is bleeding. But again, it was just a total just freak thing.
Okay,
which they always are in wrestling.
So
right?
It wasn't like your forehead got slashed open or anything like that. I vaguely remember this.
No. It was just my nose. It was just my nose.
Yeah. So who are you? Who are some of the opponents you're facing on this Shimmer weekend? Do you know yet?
I actually have no idea. We haven't been told anything yet, so that's what we're really looking forward to. I know, definitely have my eye. One of my favorite wrestlers in independent right now is Tessa Blanchard, and she is one half of the tag team champions for Shimmer, her and Vanessa Craven. So obviously me and Chelsea would love a shot with them. And honestly, anybody on the Shimmer roster, I would love to wrestle. Shimmer's not just, you know, a handful of your average indie female wrestlers. It's the best of the best. So I'm honored to be there amongst all those girls that I know, no matter what match I have, what opponent, I'm going to take something out of it. So really can't be picky and choosy when you're working with the best of the best.
Go ahead, Mike.
I would say with all these great opportunities that you have right now, is Japan something? Because a lot of women who get involved in women's wrestling, you know, they as they go into it, they'd like to travel overseas, and Stardom has been one of the bigger promotions that people have liked to go to. Is that something you have any interest in doing as time goes along?
It absolutely is, and I've actually gotten asked it about from a couple international promotions, and what's frustrating is right now I can't go anywhere with dental school because I can't miss that much school, but I finished dental school in May of 2018, and then I will be all over the place trying to get my butt out of the country and wrestling everywhere and anywhere that I can. Absolutely, Japan is like number one on the list.
Who's like your dream opponent that you've never been in the ring with?
Ooh, that's such a good question. My dream opponent. I mean, I right now I'm going to say, you know, you're Becky, you're Charlotte, you're Sasha, just because that's everyone's dream opponent. But if I could pick anybody from any point in time, I would love to wrestle Sarah Del Rey. I love her matches. I think that she's just absolutely incredible. She's now training the best of the best in WWE. So that, I think that's a pretty fail-proof match.
I got a text message here from a big fan who says, Britt Baker is the only female wrestler Mandy Leone ever gave her package pile driver to. So I guess you're part of history. Stand by, we'll be back in just a moment, and we'll do some plugs. Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. Back here on the show, we're joined by Britt Baker. And Britt, let's get some plugs out for your social media, as well as the July 7th through 9th weekend. I've retweeted a link to the Shimmer show, so check that out. And Britt, the floor is yours.
I am at Real Britt Baker on Twitter and Instagram. Pro Wrestling Tees, just my account is Britt Baker on there too, if anyone wants to snag some Britsburg merch.
That's right, Britsburg merch at Pro Wrestling Tees. So July 7th through 9th, any other dates you want to get out there?
I think, you know, that's the main focus. Then July 21st is the big AIW Absolution show, and July 22nd, both myself and Adam Cole will be defending our titles at IWC in Pittsburgh.
So there you go. Real Britt Baker on Twitter and Instagram. And Britt, I want to thank you so much for doing the show here today, and we are totally out of time, everybody. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, here on the Sports Byline at USA Radio Network. Got a bunch of shows coming up for subscribers as well. Filthy Tom Lawler, also of AIW, is going to be on the show later on today, talking SmackDown, and a bunch of other stuff as well. Dave Meltzer tonight on Wrestling Observer Radio. You can check that out at WrestlingObserver.com if you're a subscriber, as well as 8,000 shows in the archives. And we're out of here. Thanks, Mike, as always. Britt, everybody at Sports Byline, callers and listeners, we'll talk to you again next time. Observer Live, Sports Byline at USA Radio Network.